Today's shir is Masechta Erevin, Daf Kuf Dalid, and we're going to begin on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah continues teaching us halachas that although certain acts are generally prohibited on Shabbos, but in the Beis Hamikdash, exception to the rule is made because ain't shvus b'migdash. There are no esuri d'rabbanan in the Beis Hamikdash if it impedes doing the avodah. Teaches us the Mishnah. Kohen shalaka bet spoil. A kohen has a wound on his finger. Kairachalek gemi b'migdash. He's allowed to wrap around it a reed in the Beis Hamikdash, even though normally the halacha is that you're not allowed to do a refuah Shabbos unless it's a sakana. Here, because it's not nice that a kohen with a wound on his arm, on his hand, should be doing an avoida, we allow him to put it on his finger. Avalav in Medina, outside the Beis Hamikdash where refuah is also b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to put on that bandage. Im lahoitzi dam, but if his intention is to squeeze out blood, then the halach is kavakan osur, it's osur even in the Beis Hamikdash. Why? So Rashi says two reasons. One reason is taking out blood is not necessary for the avoda. Not somebody wanting to look nice is required for the avoda, but that doesn't require that you should have to squeeze out blood. Furthermore, Rashi says, squeezing out blood is a malacha d'oraisa, a malacha of chayvel, of making a wound, and although we're saying that we're allowed to do something on Shabbos that we're not normally allowed to do, that's only regarding the rabbonans. This is a d'oraisa. And as the Mefarshim explain, even though normally the halach is makalkel b'chabura, making a wound is not an issa d'oraisa, that's only when it's not for a constructive purpose, it's only when it's a destructive purpose. Here, getting out the blood is for a constructive purpose, and that's why it's asur to be done in Shabbat, it's a malacha d'oraisa. There's a very interesting Rambam. Rav Moshe quotes the Rambam. Rav Moshe says that this halacha isn't only for a kohen. The halacha is a Yisrael who's allowed to do shechita. Shechita of a carbon is mutter to be done by Yisrael. Shechita k'sher bazar. The same halacha applies that when he's doing the avoda, these halachas that we're learning in the Gemara will apply to the Yisrael. In other words, what Ramosh is teaching us, according to the Rambam, is that although Yisrael doesn't do avoda, because Yisrael is unable to do avoda, he's not allowed to do avoda, but whenever somebody is doing work with kli sharis, the halachas that we're going to learn today, shir, will apply. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rei Rav Chiya, lo yishan al gemi. This that we said that he's allowed to put on something is only a reed. Avot tzitzel cotton, if he's going to put on a small belt, have a yisur begadim, that will be considered that he's wearing another garment. And the halach is that a kohen hedget may only wear the four begadim that the Torah prescribed for him. A kohen gadol may only wear the eight begadim prescribed for him, no more. And a small belt, which even if it's fashioned as a band-aid, is a new beged and is asur. The concept of yisur begadim, of wearing extra garments, is only in a place where a garment is normally worn. If somebody's putting on this bandage on a place where clothing is not normally worn, on his finger, there's no issue of extra begadim. Ask the Gemara, the Tepik Lemishim Chatzitza. Even if the case of the bandaid in our Mishnah doesn't evolve a problem of extra begadim, there's another issue. It's a chatzitza. Nothing is supposed to interpose between the kohen's hand and the keli that he's doing avoda with. And if he's going to put on a bandage, we'll have a chatzitza. And like Mefarshim explained, the halacha of chatzitza for a kohen doing the avoda is different than the halacha of chatzitza for tefillah when somebody has to go to the mikvah. When somebody goes to the mikvah, midaraisa, the only thing that's a chatzitza is rubai hamakbid. It covers most of his body and and it bothers him. Midarabonan, if it's a rubai shein hamakbid, or it's a miut hamakbid, it's chatzitza. Let's say you have a miut shein hamakbid, it is a small part, and he doesn't really care. Even midrabban, it's not a chatzitza. Seder mefarshim, that's only regarding hilchas tefillah. Regarding hilchas avoida, anything is considered a chatzitza. So ask the Gemara, how could the Mishnah say that the kohen's allowed to wear a band-aid? It's a chatzitza. The typically mishum chatzitza. Answers the Gemara b'smol. He's wearing it on the left hand. All avoida has to be done with the right hand, so it's not a chatzitza. Inami b'yamin v'shloim makom avoida. He's wearing it on the right hand, but not where he holds the keli. That's on the top of his hand. Upligi de Rava, says the Gemara, this is in conflict with Rava says. Dama Rava, Amar Rav Chisda. B'makom begodim, in a place where a person is supposed to wear a garment, and he wears something extra, a filo nima achas koitzetzes, even one thread would be a chatzitza. Shloi b'makom begodim, where clothing is not worn, where according to the Gemara that we just learned, there is no problem at all of yisa begodim, tells us Rava, in the name of Chizda, that's not true. If it's sholosh al sholosh, if it's a piece of material that's three etzpas by three etzpas, chaytzetzes, it's a chatzitza. Pachas mishalosh al sholosh, if it's less than that, ain't a chatzetzes. Says the Gemara, Ad Rav Yochanan, vade pligi. What Rava just said is certainly in conflict with what Rav Yochanan said. Because Rav Yochanan said that we're clothing is not normally worn. No matter what size you're wearing, there is no concept of yisa begodim. And according to Rav Amar Rav Chisda, if it's three etzbos by three etzbos, you will have an issue of yisa begodim. The question is, Ad Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya, name a pligi, where we say that he's in disagreement with Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya. Why? Because Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya said that if it's sholosh, if it's a tziltzel cotton, it's a small belt, which is less than sholosh al sholosh, it's considered an extra beged. Rabbi Yochanan said, Rava said, you need sholosh al sholosh. So are they arguing or not? Says the Gemara, no, there's no argument. He will agree that you have to have three etzbos or three etzbos. Why did Rav Chiya say that when you have sholosh al sholosh, it's already considered an extra beged? Because shani tzitzel tzotten the choshev. Since it's something that's significant, even though it's less than three etzbos than three etzbos, it's considered an extra beged. Now, there's a very important point to make. Here the Gemara says, Shloim b'mrakim begodim, sholosh sholosh chetzetzes. Now, the problem is not that it's a chetzitza, because it's not shloim b'mrakim begodim, so it's no chetzitza. Rashi says the Gemara uses the terminology of chetzitza, even though it means extra beged. Since the Braitza and the Gemara is using the language of chetzitza, it sticks to that terminology, even though it's not really accurate. What it should have said is yisa begodim. Lishnachrina, another version of this conversation. Amalei Am Rav Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya. Loishan al gemi. The only thing that you're allowed to put on as a bandage is a gemel. Avot tziltzel cotton, a small belt, chaitzitz, will be a chatzitza. Rav Yochanan, loyam a chatzitza pachs mishalosh shalosh. Rav Yochanan is clearly arguing Rav Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya. Rav Yochanan says that you have to have shalosh shalosh to be a chatzitza. And he says that even a small belt would be a chatzitza. El b'makom begodim, and that's only with clothing worn. Av shloi b'makom begodim, shalosh shalosh chatzetzes. And again, here shalosh shalosh chatzetzes doesn't mean a chatzitza. It's now with clothing or worn. It's considered an extra beged. Pachs mishalosh, if it's less than three etzbos, ain't a chatzetzes. V'hane Rav Amar Rav Chisda, and that's the same as Rav Amar Rav Chisda. The Rav Amar Rav Chisda also said that sholosh or sholosh is considered extra. So now, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, Rav Yochanan is certainly arguing Rav Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya. He's speaking to Rav Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya. Rav Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya told us loishon al gemi el tziltzel cotton is going to be chatzitza, and Rav Yochanan says no, you have to have sholosh or sholosh to be a chatzitza. Now the question is, do we also say that there's a machloikis between Reb Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya and Rava? That Rava said the shear is sholosh or sholosh, and Reb Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya said the shear is a tziltzel cotton. Are they necessarily arguing or not? Lema pligit of Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya. Should we say that Rava and Reb Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya are arguing? So he said there's no argument. Just like we said before, shani tziltzel cotton de choshev. A tziltzel cotton is considered something significant, and even though it's not sholosh or sholosh, it will be a chatzitza. Ask the Gemara. Uleb Yochanan, ad shmin gemi l'shmin tzitzel katan. If according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to wear even a tzitzel katan. Why are you allowed to wear a tzitzel katan? Because it's less than shalosh or shalosh. So why did our Mishnah choose to tell us that the kohen could wear a gemi? He could have told us even a bigger amount. He could have told us you could wear a tzitzel katan. Answers the Gemara, you're right. The Mishnah could have taught us that a kohen is even allowed to wear a tzitzel katan. Why did the Mishnah choose to teach us that he's allowed to wear a gemi? Because Milsagav Urcha Kamashmalan is teaching us another din, another fact, the gemi masi, that a reed could cure somebody who has a wound. So that's why wear a reed. So there's a beautiful Avnei Nezer on this Gemara, which is relevant to all of the sugyas that we've been learning the last couple of days. We've been learning Ein Shvus B'Migdash, that in the base of Migdash there is no Issa D'Rabbanan. Now, when we say Ein Shvus B'Migdash, there's two ways of looking at it, which is in a lot of places in Shas, this question. Do we say Hutra? That's completely Mutter. There's no Shaila. Ein Shvus B'Migdash, there's no issue of the Rabbanan. Or do we say Dechuya? That means, if necessary, we'll be Mekel, but we don't want to do it unless we really have to. Says Avni Nezer, from this Gemara, we have a Raya that it's Hutra. It's completely Mutter. What's the situation in our Mishnah? We have a kohen with a wound. And we learned in the Mishnah that the kohen, it's not nice that he should do that void with that wound. Cover it. Fine. Now you have a choice. You could cover it with any leaf. They didn't have bandages in those days. You could cover it with any leaf. Or you could cover it with gemi. Gemi, we just learned in the Gemara, heals. If we're going to say that it's the chuya and you want to do as little as possible, so you shouldn't be allowed to use a gemi, which is a refuah, you should only be allowed to use a leaf. If the Mishnah teaches us that you don't have to use any leaf, you could even use a gemi, which is a refuah, because the Mishnah is teaching us that it's hutra, that when you're allowed to violate a drabonon, it's not that you have to kvetch, it's not that you have to be concerned and try to do it in the most mutted way possible. You're allowed to do it l'chatchila, and that's why you're allowed to use a gemi versus just any other leaf. Says the Mishnah, Boiskim melech agabi keves. You're allowed to pour salt on top of the ramp. Again, something that's mutter in the base of Migdash. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, normally not allowed to pour salt, but on the ramp you're allowed to pour salt. B'shvil shlo yachliku. So the Kohanim should not slip as they walk up the ramp. And again, why would they slip? So the Rishonim say two pshatim. Either because it's slippery because it rained, or because the animals were slaughtered on the Mizbeach and the fat ran down and it made it slippery. Another halacha, you're allowed to fill up from, there were certain pits, collected water in the Azara, you're allowed to use, they had a pulley system, you're allowed to fill up from those water holes, Begilgal, Beshabbos, even though it involves using a pulley, Umeber HaKar, Beyontif. We'll explain in the Gemara why you shouldn't be allowed to use a pulley system and what the barakar means. Ramle Rav Ika Mipreshuni L'Rova. Tanan, we just learned in the Mishnah, Bois Gemelech Agaba Keves, you're allowed to pour salt on the ramp going up to the Mizbeach, B'shvil Shalai Chliku B'Migdash. B'shvil Shalai Chliku, that they're not allowed to slip. B'Migdashin, and what are we learning here? That even though in the Beis HaMikdash you may do it, but Medina outside the Beis HaMikdash law you may not do it. Verminu, I'll ask you a question. It says a braisa chotzesh in the skalkala, if your backyard, your front yard got slippery, but maybe shaman because it's the rainy season, maybe tevin or mardaba, you're allowed to put straw on it and walk. So you see that it's not only in the Beis HaMikdash you're allowed to put things on to avoid slipping. You're allowed to do it everywhere. So what's so special that our Mishnah is teaching us that you're allowed to do it in the Beis HaMikdash? Answers the Gemara, Shani Tevin Delemevatale, which means like this. What's the reason you're not allowed to put something on the floor? You're not allowed to put something on the floor because it looks like boina. It looks like you're building. You're adding things to the floor. So that's why. What items are you not allowed to put on the floor? Something that you're going to leave there. So if you're going to leave it there, it looks like you add it to the floor. Salt that's poured, that people shouldn't slip, is going to be left there. And since it's going to be left there, tells us the Gemara it's Asr. Straw, on the other hand, even though the straw spread out to avoid slipping, afterwards they'll sweep it up and use the straw for animal feed, for whatnot. So since you're not going to leave it there permanently, it's not considered boina. So we see from here a very important concept in halacha. The halacha makes a differentiation between something you intend to leave there versus something you don't intend to leave there. And the paiskim, Torah is gevaldig. You could take something in Masechet Erevin and apply it to a lot of halachas. Use this concept for two shailos halacha lemaisa. I saw. It's probably used for more. One question is, if a woman has to go to the mikvah and she has a filling, so is it a chatzitza? So our Gemara is teaching us, if you intend to leave it, even though it's an extraneous subject, it's not considered, it's considered part of where it is. So therefore the woman that has a filling is allowed to go to the mikveh because it's going to be part of her. Then I saw another tshuva, very bechiddish. I'm just saying it la'alocha, not la'maisa. If anybody has the shayla, they should ask her off. Let's say somebody, chas v'shalom, broke their left hand, and they're wearing a cast. And now the question is, on what hand should they put on the tefillin? Should they put on the tefillin on the right hand with no cast, Baruch Hashem? Or should I put on the tefillin on the left hand, but involves putting the tefillin on the cast, not on the hand? So the Chelkus Yaakov says that if the cast is going to be there for a while, so Al Gemara says that whatever you're going to leave there for a while becomes part of where you put it, and you could, so that cast becomes an extension of your hand, and you could put your tefillin on the left hand on top of the cast.
In which case,
woman
could be, go to the mikvah with that.
So a woman could go to the mikvah with that too, or a woman has a temporary filling or a temporary crown, but it's going to be there, not that temporary. There's no question of going to the mikvah. Let's understand the salt of our Mishnah that's being put on the Mizbeach. If he intends to leave it there all the time, then he's changing the dimensions of the Mizbeach. The Ksiv is a Pasuk in the Vayomim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught David HaMelech the exact dimensions of the Mizbeach. So now if you're adding salt, you're changing the dimensions. You're making it higher. You're not allowed to do that. What are you going to tell me? He intends to sweep off the salt. It's going to be a chatzitza between the kohen's foot and the keves as he walks up the ramp. Says the Gemara, by lechas avarim lekeves. Our Mishnah is referring when somebody's walking up the keves with the limbs that have to be burnt, the lav avodahi. That's not considered an avodah. Says the Mar Veloy, that's not considered an avodah. The ksiv hikrav akoyin as a kol v'ikter mizbeach. That the kohen must bring the avarim to be burnt in mizbeach. V'amamar zu alachas avarim lekeves. Now the Brisker Rav and his son Reberel have a wonderful pshat in this Gemara. The Gemara says that what is the avodah? Carrying the avarim to the keves. So he says carrying the avarim to the keves is not the avodah. Carrying the avarim to the mizbeach is the avodah. So what is Gemara saying? Halachas avarim lekeves. So the Brisker Rav says that two things. He says, number one, he says carrying the avarim till the keves is also part of the avodah. It's not only carrying it up the ramp, but carrying it to the ramp is the avodah. But furthermore, he says the ramp had two parts: the lower half and the higher half. He says only the lower half is considered the ramp. The higher half is no longer considered the ramp. The higher half of the keves is already considered mizbeach. So that's why the Gemara used the terminology of halachas avarim lekeves. Because if it would have said halachas avarim mizbeach, you would think that the whole ramp is considered ramp. But that's not true, because only the bottom half of the ramp is considered ramp. The upper half of the ramp is already considered mizbeach. El Eimo. So we're back to what we're saying. We're saying that he's allowed to put on the salt, and it's not a he doesn't intend to keep it. And it's not a chatzitza because he's not doing an avoida. So when is he going up the keves and not doing an avoida? If he carries wood up to the top of the mizbeach, the lav avoida he. That's not considered an avoida, carrying the wood that they just need on top of the mizbeach. So now we have to understand our Mishnah. What is our Mishnah now talking about? The person's putting the salt and has no intention to leave the salt there all the time. So now, what did our Mishnah say? In the Beis HaMikdash, it's mutter. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's asr. Ask the Mashal for why. If you don't intend to keep it there all the time, So it should be like straw. Just like straw we lifted the Gemara a moment ago. You're allowed to put it on the chatzar. Why? Because you don't intend to leave it there. So if the salt you don't intend to leave there, it should also be mutter. Yet our Mishnah says that salt is not mutter. So two truths from giving the achronim. One tarot says that since salt is usually left there, so even though you don't intend to leave it there, most people leave it there, so that's why Chazal said you can never put out salt, even if you don't intend to leave it there. Another tarot they give is it looks like an uvda d'chol. Pouring salt out in the keves, it looks like an uvda d'chol, and that's why it's mutter. There's another shayla in the achronim. That's why it's awesome. I'm sorry. Now there's another shayla in the achronim. What happens if you already put salt from Erev Shabbos? And now you're going to just put salt on top of the salt. Would that make a difference? Or putting out salt is always awesome. Darish Rava. Chotzesh Neskalka v'megishavim. If your yard got slippery, maybe Tevin Madaba, you could pour out straw, and like we just learned, but you have to make sure that you don't intend to keep it there permanently. Omle a papa l'rova, v'tanya, we learned in a braisa, k'shemarda ein amarda, when you pour out the straw, you shouldn't pour it out loy b'sav, loy b'kupa, not out of a regular basket, ela b'shuli kupa, means, Rashi explained shuli kupa means a broken basket. Tosfos explained shuli kupa means you should turn over all of their utensils had a base. So turn over the utensil and just have the bottom part of the base where you can't put that much on. The main point is that you should do it different than you do it during the week, because it should not, it should look different. It shouldn't be an uvda d'chol. So why didn't Rava say this condition? It says the Gemara, Hadam Oker Rava Amar Alevi Darish. Rava took the Amar that was the person that used to speak in front of him and say, Devarim Shematel Fnechem Tosem Biyodei. What I said before was an error. When you do put out the straw, which you don't intend to keep permanently, don't use a regular basket. Use the bottom of the basket. We learned in the Mishnah that you are allowed to, in the base of Migdosh, use a pulley system to fill up from this water hole. And now we need to understand why it would be usur. Ula ikla lebei Rav Menashe. Ula came to Rav Menashe's home. Also, who gave a tarf above him? Somebody came and knocked on the door. He wanted to enter the door. Of a manhai, who is this person that's knocking on the door on Shabbos? Lischel gufei, his body should be desecrated. The kamoch leil Shabbos, because he desecrated the Shabbos. So why is he desecrating Shabbos? Because he's making music. He's knocking on the door, and the halach is the medrabonin. You're not allowed to do that. Because Chazal made a gzeir, you're not allowed to play any instrument, you're not allowed to make any noise. Shema yisakin klishir, you may come to fix an instrument. Amle Ravis. Ravis says, why are you upset? Le'osru el kol shashir. The only time Chazal said you're not allowed to make music is its intention to make music, not if you're just making a sound. Esvei Abaya, so Abaya asks to Rava, is what you're saying correct? That the only time it's osur is when it's a kol shashir? It says in a braisa, Malam b'diyuf. The yufi was some sort of like a straw that they connected between two cups or two barrels, and if you wanted the liquid in one barrel to siphon off into the other barrel, they would form like at right angles, and if you started sipping, then it created a vacuum and the rest of the liquid went automatically. Metifa miyarik l'chayla. Miyarik was this kind of utensil. It was a utensil that had small holes on the bottom, filled with water, and had a very narrow opening. So until the opening on top is open, there's no air pushing out the water. Once you open up the hole on the top, the water that's in the bottom starts dripping out, and they had like a metal pan under it, and that drip sound went drip, drip, drip. And you're allowed to do it b'Shabbos l'chayla. You're allowed to open it up only for a chayla on Shabbos. So we learn, l'chayla in, l'bari loy. Only for a sick person is a mutter, not for a healthy person. Heichin dami, what is this dripping sound being used for? Labdanim, you have this ill person who's sleeping, the kaboy de l'sar, and you want to wake him up. You don't want to wake him up by shaking him, because he's not well, he's weak, and that may startle him. So you have this dripping sound. And the dripping sound will wake him up. Now, this is not a kol shel shir. Yet, what does the braisa say? That it's only mutter for a chayla. It's not mutter for anybody else. Shmamino. So from here we see that a ludi koila, any sound is usher, even if it's not a cultural shear. I rather said that the only call that's usher is a cultural shear. Here we see even not a cultural shear is usher. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the story of that braisa. It's talking about the tear. You have this sick person that can't fall asleep. The kabay delinim, he wants to fall asleep. The mishtamik call them zoom zume, making this dripping sound is like music and will help him fall asleep. Music, cultural shear. Rav agrees as usher, only for a sick person do we say it's mutter. Eisei, ask the Gemara another shayla. Hamasham peros of pnei oifes with the law of somebody's watching his fruit that it shouldn't be eaten up by the birds. But the law of pnei chayu is cucumbers that shouldn't be eaten up by the animals. Masham kedak b'shabbos, he's allowed to watch them in Shabbos. Uvachli sapik v'lo yitapik v'lo yirakid, he's not allowed to clap or jump to chase the birds away. The way it's normally done during the week. My tama, why are you not allowed to clap? You're making a sound. And from here we see that any sound, now when you clap to chase away a bird, it's not kol shir. Yet the Bryce is telling us that it's usher. So we see it's not only kol shir that's usher, like Rava said. Says the Gemara, the reason over there has nothing to do with kol. The reason is a different reason. We're concerned that if we're going to allow you to clap to chase away the birds, what are you going to do? You're going to take a rock, you're stating Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you're going to throw it at the bird in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's why we answered. Nothing to do with kol. So the Gemara, a different question. Women used to play nuts. They used to roll nuts on the ground. The halacha is osur. They're not allowed to play that game. My time, and what's the reason? Because when the nuts hit each other, they make a sound. And it's also to make sound. Now, the sound that's made when the nuts meet each other is not a kosher shear. So, according to Rabbi, why is it osur? Says, that's not the reason they're not allowed to play with the nuts. It's easier to play this game when the surface is smooth. And we're concerned they're going to smooth out the surface, which would be boina. And I'll prove to you that point, says Rava. Sometimes they play this game with apples instead of with nuts. Now, when nuts snap at each other, they make a sound. When apples hit each other, there's no sound. So if we're saying that the issur is because it makes a sound, why not allowed to play with apples? The reason is because of smoothing out the surface. So again, although we've asked a number of questions on Rabbah that limited the isser of a lude koila to kol shashir, Rabbah was able to defend his position every time. Tanat, so we try our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Mamal Mibarah Goyle Mibarah Godel Begilgul B'Shabbos. You're allowed to use this pulley system on Shabbos. But the Migdashin, as all the Mishnayos we've been learning, it's strictly in the Beis HaMikdash that we were mako v'din aloy. Outside the Beis HaMikdash would be Osir. What's the Osir when you use a pulley? My Tama, Mishum de Ludi Koil of Osir. Because when you pull up the pulley, it makes a noise. Even though it's not a kosher shear, it's not music, it's still Osir. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the reason. The reason in our Mishnah is, Gzeru Shema Yamale L'Ginosu L'Chabasai. We're afraid that if we're going to allow you to pull up water, you may pull up water and then water your field, your garden. And that's why it's usher. So before we go into this sugya, we finish the sugya of Aludi Kaila. And we have in the Gemara Machlaikis, what kol is usher on Shabbos? Tanakam held that any kol is usher on Shabbos. Rabbi said only kol shashir. Tosfos quotes, that's Machlaikis Rishonim, who we paskin like. Some paskin like the first shita, that any sound is usher. The other shitas hold that only kol shel shir is usher. The Rambam paskins that only kol shel shir is usher. The Gra, and we know the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gra, says that any kol is usher, like the first shita. According to that, you would not be allowed to knock on a door. You would not be allowed to knock on a door if it makes noise. But even according to the shitas that say that a kol, any kol is asur, I saw two heterim. One heter is when you have no intention at all to make noise. What's the example? Let's say somebody was wearing some sort of a garment, and the garment makes noise. Let's say it's a ball. Let's say you have something that's shaped like a ball and it has a stone in it. And as you walk, it knocks around and makes noise. That will certainly be mutter. Because since you have absolutely no intent to make any noise, when you're knocking a door, you're intending to make noise. You may not be intending to make a kol shel shir, but you're intending to make a kol. Here you're not intending to make kol at all. There's no psik resha, it's a derabbanon, and it's not a kol, it's only a kol where you intend to make kol. So that's why it's mutter. But where is there another shayla? The other shayla is that a lot of shuls have sefer Torah that have on them bells, or they have on them these crown that's put on top of the sefer Torah that has bells on it. Actually, the Taz says you should be careful that those bells should not have clappers in them. Why shouldn't they have clappers? They shouldn't make any noise. The Magen Avraham is mekel. The Magen Avraham says, since you're doing it l'kavod mitzvah, there's absolutely no intent to make noise. That's why the Magen Avraham is mekel. And Mr. Brewer quotes the Shaar Ephraim that says that by dvar mitzvah, you can rely on the Magen Avraham and you could have, even if it makes noise. A lot of shuls take out the clappers. A lot of them now don't have it. But according to the Magen Avraham, there everybody would agree that you could be mekel. It's interesting. Tosfos quotes another important halacha here. The Gemara says that the women used to play with the nuts, and it's also to play with the nuts, because the Gemara says you may end up smoothing out the surface. Tosfos says here that in his time the women did continue playing with the nuts. The Gemara says it's asur. Tosfos quotes the concept of mutav shei shagigin v'yehei mezidim. Since they knew that the women won't listen, and we're dealing with issa d'rabbanon, when it's issa d'rabbanon and you know people won't listen, it's better not to tell them anything because they won't listen anyway. Says the Gemara, a meimah shari lemilma b'gagula b'mechuzah. A meimah allowed them to use this pulley system in mechuzah. Omar, he said, my tamagoz rabbanon. Why did Chazal, as we just learned, say you're not allowed to use the pulley system? Shem yimala liginos l'chuvasai. You may fill up enough water and then water your garden. Hachal aginika, where I am, there are no fields. V'lechurveika, and there's nothing to be worried about. However, Kivin the Kachazu, the Katarule Titna, once he saw that in his field there they were soaking flax, so they did use the water for something that's also to be done in Shabbos, Asalahu, he said you can't fill up from the pulley. So the two heterim, when you're allowed to use a pulley system to pull up water from a pit. One is the heter of the Gemara, that where there is no field that needs watering in the vicinity where you're pulling up the water, it's mutter. Because as we see in the Gemara, the only time they said it's asur is if there's a vicinity where you may use the water for asur purpose. But if there's nothing in the area that would cause you to use the water for something you're not allowed to use it, you're allowed to pull it up. And then Tosfos on the bottom of Amud Aleph says another heter, which is quoted also in the Shulchan Aruch. He says only if you're using large pails of water. Because when you take a large pail of water, so even if you're pulling up the water because you need the water to drink or to wash your hands, we're concerned that you may end up using the pulley, you may use the leftover water for something which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But if you're pulling up just a small pail of water, you need the water to drink or to wash yourself, and it's barely enough, and certainly won't be left over to water anywhere else, then you're allowed to use a pulley system to pull up water from a pit. In our world, it's not that relevant. We Baruch Hashem have faucets. So, continues the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah they allowed them to fill up from the Ber HaKar B'yontif. My Ber HaKar. What does the Ber HaKar mean? Amishmu Bo Shehikula Dvarim V'Teruah. This was the pit on which there was a debate if you were allowed to use it or not, and they said they were allowed to use it. That means that they came up from the Golis and they needed water. They had no water available to them, and it was Yontif, and they said that even though we learned in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to fill up from a bear, for this situation they gave them a dispensation. Meisvei, says the Gemara, how could you say that this was a special dispensation said for this pit? It says, This was a special situation. If we'll say that bor akar means all types of boiris, so we could understand this one, yes, that one not. But if we're talking about a specific situation, so of course it's only this one. There's nothing else to compare it to. El Amar of Nachem Ben Yitzchok, Ber Maim Chaim. It was a Ber Maim Chaim, and that's why it's called Ber Hakar, because Ber Hakar means that it's like a living bor, and they allow them to use it. Shenema Kihikar Ber Meimeho, like a living well gives off its water. Gufa, Lo Kolabor HaKoris Yitiru, not all living wells were allowed, and now makes much more sense. Because if we're talking that it was a Ber Maim Chaim, so certainly wasn't something unique. And now we understand the Gemara, that even though there were many Ber Maim Chaim, many living streams, the Bryce is telling us there was only one specific Ber Maim Chaim they allowed, not everything else. El Zubavad. Ukshol Bnei Goy L'chon Olea, they were coming off from Golos to Yisrael, and they were there. V'neim Shebnei Metir Lehen, and the Benevim between them said that they could use this bar. Says the Gemara, v'loy neviim shebeneim. It wasn't really the neviim. El minig of a sebiyadim. They had a minig that they allowed to use this when they needed on yontif. The Ben Ish Chai says, why does the Gemara say a minig of a seyem biyadim? She said minig avaisim. It was their minig. So the Ben Ish Chai says, a lot of times we say this is our minig. It's a minig. I follow this minig. He says, you have to know that not every minig, just because of minig, is it right. He says, the letters of the word minig are the same letters as the word Gehenna. Oh, sometimes a minig can end you up in Gehenna. If it has no sense, if it's something wrong, it's Gehenna. Why does it say Yodayim? Because Yodayim is a takana. It's also a minig. It's relevant to our Masechta. Erevin and the Tilas Yodayim were the two takanas that Shlomo HaMelech made. Masechta Yodayim, it's one of the Masechtas of Mishnayis, has Toiv. It has 17 Parakim. Minig Avoseyam, you know when a Minig is good? It's like when it's Yodayim. It's like when it's Masechta Yodayim. That's a Minig Toiv. It has 17 Parakim. You're supposed to follow Minhagim, but which Minhagim are you supposed to follow? Minig Toiv, like Masechta Yodayim.